gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, back from vacation. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the
Tuesday.
Hour. Tuesday. Pardon me. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, the Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward.
Yep.
No way! Jim Ward won an Emmy over vacation.
Yes, he won an Emmy.
That's what I did on my vacation.
Aww.
I won a freaking Emmy.
By Jim Ward. We'll get to all of that. Including, more importantly, who lost.
Yeah.
As we continue, StephanieMiller.com, the website, the rude pundit, Lee Papa. He is my papa. He will be on the Celebrity Hotline next hour to talk about all things rude and pundity, as we always do. All right. Lots of big doings, obviously. The president's big speech on health care is tomorrow night. He talked about his basket this weekend.
I continue to believe that a public option within that basket of insurance choices will help improve quality and bring down costs.
He is meeting with the members of the Progressive Caucus today. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah,
about that.
Yeah, I don't think that's wise. I mean, it's typical of Democrats to stand up now that they're going after one of their own. You know, they bend over for the Republicans for you know, any reason. But now they're going after Obama, so they're going to make sure, hold his feet to the fire and... If he doesn't do what they want, well, we're
you know
just going to stomp our feet. And
there are more progressive caucus than there are blue dogs.
Yeah,
so it'll be
the next few days will be
all
interesting.
Right. Well,
we'll see. For sure. But I think the main thing this morning, if you're a parent, Mo Rocca has tweeted, and I think this is important to point out.
He said, take a good, long, loving look at your kids as they leave for school this morning. Mm-hmm. They'll be coming home, commie bastards.
That's right. President will be speaking to the children today.
And yes, I'm going to have something to say tomorrow to our children, telling them to stay in school and work hard.
What?
Because that's the right message to send.
What? How dare he?
What?
Telling them to stay in school and be indoctrinated by
that socialist claptrap.
Whatever.
All right.
God.
Hey, Jim, did you see a crazy 9/11 conspiracy theorist got fired from the administration on Van Jones?
Van Jones, as he says in his statement, understood that he was going to get in the way of the president.
But, listen, Jim Ward would be in my way if he hadn't won an Emmy. Now he's back in my good graces. Did you have some thoughts on that,
I'll
Jim?
I'll just quit then.
No,
that's... You won't let me talk about it.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about
it. What do you mean we won't let you talk about?
About?
I think Hal Sparks should come on and we'll have a 9/11 hoedown on 9/11. And we can, take calls for half an hour.
Okay. All right. What do you mean I don't let you talk about it, for God's sakes? All right, the more important thing is it's our anniversary. Pam.
Oh, yes. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy, happy, happy. Pam writes, hey, Steph, isn't it time for an anniversary show for you and the Mooks? How long have you fossils been together now?
Yeah. Five long.
Endless, in this incarnation.
Yes, and then there was more.
And then we knew each other before.
Yes, we did.
It is. We begin year six today, don't we?
Well, I do.
Yes. Oh, you were late.
I was late to the party.
Show. Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't start on day one.
For some reason, his whole life didn't have to do with me, Jim. I don't know what that was all about. That was craziness. So what? You're in another city and another job. I need you tomorrow.
I did that for you once.
I need you here for my entrance. And if you're late, damn it.
Let's get one thing straight and we'll get along fine. My entrance. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
All right, but it turns out
yours
didn't.
I don't care if you're in Singapore. You have to be here in 10 minutes.
Hey,
didn't roll because no one else wants the job.
I have quit my job, packed up my apartment, gotten a new apartment, and moved here within 5 days from Chicago before.
Twice. You've done that twice for me.
Well, the first time I did it in 5 days. The second time I said, no, I need to give my...
Listen, you crazy bitch.
Yeah, I need to give my employer 2 weeks.
I can't keep
track
of your years of unemployment when you suddenly pull a new show out of your ass.
Yeah.
All right. The important thing is the children. As you know, I believe the children are the future. Jackson in Memphis.
I believe the children are the future.
Right, dear Stephanie, I love you in the most inappropriate way possible. Is there any other way, Jackson? I never knew how much my daughter, Margaret, who considers Stephanie Miller her hero to the point where I had to buy her a purple sweater for career day.
Oh, boy.
was learning from your show until one night we were sitting at dinner. My younger son and my wife were telling corny jokes. My wife asks, what do you get when a rabbit jumps across the road into a mud puddle, then jumps back? My son couldn't guess, so she said a dirty double crosser. My daughter, without missing a beat, said, must have been a Republican. She's been paying attention to the health care debate. Good girl! Good girl, Margaret! Who's a good girl? All right, speaking of Republican humor, Sean, a fine American, is this what we can summarize as we head into a very, very important week in the healthcare debate? Right-wing arguments against healthcare reform, and I think to sum up. Number one, although efforts have been made to reform healthcare since 1912, we should not be too hasty in enacting change.
Right.
Number two, the federal government has no business interfering in people's healthcare decisions unless a woman is trying to terminate a pregnancy or unless the patient's last name is Shivo. Number three, the government is incapable of running anything efficiently, and if allowed to offer a healthcare option, will run it so efficiently it will put private insurers out of business. Number four, some people just don't deserve healthcare. Number five, we're a Christian nation. We don't believe in helping people, the least among us. Number six, the current system with 47 million uninsured, a million medical bankruptcies annually, 18,000 deaths annually due to lack of insurance, is working just fine. In fact, we have the best healthcare system in the world. Number seven, even though many older couples are forced to divorce in order to avoid catastrophic financial losses due to medical expenses, it's the homosexuals who are destroying families. Mm-hmm. Number eight, conversation with your doctor about end-of-life issues is an opportunity for your doctor to convince you to kill yourself. Number nine, we can afford to spend more on our military than all other nations combined, but we can't afford universal health care. Number ten, single-payer government-run health care is good enough for our men and women in uniform, but to offer the same to the general public would be socialism. Mm-hmm. Pooling our resources to provide roads, schools, clean water, military, police, and fire protection for each other is not socialism. Pooling our resources to provide each other health care is socialism. Number 12, socialism is bad, very bad, bad. Number 13, health care is an issue best handled by individual states, like slavery.
Hmm.
Number 14, we can afford to subsidize the Israel, Iraq, and Afghanistan, all of whom have universal health care, but we can't afford it ourselves. Someone like physicist Stephen Hawking would have been allowed to die under the British healthcare system. Oh, he's British and alive? Never mind. 18. We already have universal healthcare. It's called the emergency room. Uninsured people can go there for all their health needs, and it only costs the taxpayers a few thousand dollars per visit. Number 19. Socialism is bad, very bad, very bad. Boo. Number 20. The Obama healthcare initiative is part of a liberal, communist, Nazi, socialist, Islamofascist, gay, atheist, zombie, transsexual, cannibal, sociopath, evolutionist agenda to take away your freedom. Thank you. That sums up your right-wing arguments against the healthcare.
Also, the Gordon Gekko dictum, greed is good. He wasn't supposed to be a good guy in the film. Might have escaped your attention.
That was supposed to be a villain, FYI. All right, let's get the fun facts about who lost the Emmy to Jim Ward. So you had a voice role in Biker Mice from Mars. A job I claim I got you, but you claim I didn't, but whatever.
Presidents. Well, that's what Tom said. Anyway, but I did credit you in my acceptance speech.
You did? What did you say?
Well, first of all, because... I'm tired. Alex Trebek was the host.
Oh!
I came up doing the, obviously the Saturday Night Live version of,
Yes.
As Sean Connery. Considering who the host is tonight, I suppose I should be phrasing this in the form of a question. Who the hell is Jim Walden? Why should I care? And, later, Trebek commented on that.
But oh,
I missed it because I was out drinking and...
As you are wont to do.
As you are wont to do at award ceremonies.
Plus I hadn't eaten in 7 hours, so that was...
All right.
But then, I thanked my lovely wife, Janice, and my agent, and my boss, Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
Boss? Since when have you ever treated me like your boss? What?
Well, titular boss, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice titulars,
more importantly, anyway. As we all know, there are no losers, but who lost to you?
Amy Poehler.
Really?
And Vanessa Williams.
So an actual voice guy won this category rather than a celebrity pretending to be a voice guy.
And what's her name? Joan Rivers. And
wow.
And Jim Cummings, who is another actual voice guy. In fact, he said, I just care if somebody named Jim wins tonight.
Aww.
And somebody did. So I
we congratulate all of them. And
loser.
We
know.
But Jim Ward is the winner. Yay. Congratulations, Jim. Mom is so proud.
That and the token to get me a ride in the subway down to the Staples Center. But
you can melt down the Emmy and use it for...
That's true.
Yeah, it's something.
Well, Jim was drinking and winning Emmys and thinking only of himself. I was thinking of America on my vacation. Might I have some fine American music for myself, please? Here's what I did. I went to a very red state. I went to Utah.
Oh, dear.
Again?
Woo! It's very red. No, I went to the...
Including the landscape. Yes.
I went to Red Mountain Spa, which I highly recommend. There's a tile out on stephaniemiller.com.
I've been to Green Valley Spa.
Oh, really? It is spectacular, beautiful. The hiking's great. You know what? I usually go hiking and drinking.
Yes.
On my vacations, as you know. And I was in a little bit of a cold sweat in Utah, a little hard to find the mama's medicine.
Yes.
But I paid off the shuttle driver. I'm like, you listen to me. You find the liquor store now! Anyway... But so I'm at a little cafe, you know, and I'm listening to conversation, and it's all the right-wing talking points on healthcare reform. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm on vacation, I had to go over and sit and talk to them.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
try to
no.
indoctrinate them to my socialist beliefs.
Like Obama's going to do to our school children this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Socialism.
It's listen, I got right-wing K to agree to listen to the president's speech. That's what I did for America on my vacation. There was she's an older woman talking to an older guy, Mike, former FBI. Very
nice. Is she a townie?
She was a townie.
Okay.
Use your townie guy.
I'm with, friends at the little cafe in the town. This is St. George, Utah.
Yes, St. George.
Use your townie guy.
And I hear them discussing all the political pundits. And out of the corner of my vacation ear.
Yes.
I hear, well, Ann Coulter's smart, don't you think? I was I like to listen to all sides. I'm like,
the right and the extreme far right.
I just don't want the government deciding what health medical
blah blah
care
blah,
I can
blah,
have
blah,
or what. And here's what I found out.
She was on Medicare?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, hi. I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. I sort of do this for a living. I was just curious. Anyway, they were very, very nice. I said, you're on, Medicare.
Hmm. So when did you join the Communist Party?
you know that is a government... She's like, well, yes, I do. And I said, well,
So? And?
I said...
Therefore?
The thing is... She goes, my friends say I only watch Fox News, but I don't. I watch the other ones. And I'm like, well, you see, they're lies. A lot of the things on the right are lies. Anyway, we ended up having a delightful discussion, and she agreed to listen to the president tomorrow night with an open mind. Kay did.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
Even though he's a a socialist, Nazi, communist, atheist, Muslim, Negro. So.
I don't think she mentioned that. It might have been in her thought bubble.
See, she was in polite anyway. Society, so.
Liberal and Nazi and African-American do not fit together.
Yeah, I don't... This is honestly the
and
most
Muslim and atheist.
This is the most frustrating debate I think in my lifetime because I'm like but insurance companies are deciding now what treatment you can get or not get. How do you?
We'll have a bit about that later, as a matter of fact.
Yes. But anyway, I thought, that's one thing you can do is just, try to have an actual discussion with a person. Because when you said, because she actually was a nice person. And I tried to actually talk to her about, because that's the problem, is the right has accomplished up until now exactly what they hope. They've just thrown everything against the wall, including a lot of lies, to confuse people.
Yes.
And some good-hearted people, like Kay in Utah, my new best friend. Are just confused. They're like, well, but I thought I heard, and I'm like, no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No. Sean Hannity said that.
Sean Hannity.
But that's not true, Kay.
And also, Fox is on basic cable.
Yes. All right.
MSNBC, in most areas, is not.
So we will be back with where we stand on healthcare and what the president is going to say tomorrow night as we continue 20 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. And the card attached would say thank you for being a friend.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. If you want to talk to me, I'm the one without the Emmy.
Yes.
Wendy in Chicago.
Have you ever been nominated for an Emmy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did a role in the same series Jim did, but Ty came up empty-handed.
Yes, you did.
Oh, well. Wendy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, good morning, and welcome back, Jim. Thank you. Congratulations on the Emmy. Listen, I just need a minute to explain what is happening here in the northwest suburbs. It is unprecedented. First, before I discuss the letter, the bogus letter that was sent home by my child's school principal, let me set up what the school has done in the past when politicians have entered our schools to talk. In the past...
Yeah, like every president's done, FYI.
Well, and not only that, but in the past... in my daughter's middle school, for example, last year, Mark Kirk, who was our U.S. congressperson, who's also very chummy with the mayor of Arlington Heights, where I live, my kids have been in the school district for 4 years. We've had politicians come in the school. There has never been any problem or warning about these politicians coming into the school. Mm-hmm. There's never been notes coming home warning
Wendy,
us of them coming.
I think you get the point of the right wing's point about the president getting to speak to your children.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yes. So this note comes home that due to the timing of Obama's speech, they're not going to be showing it live. Uh-huh. That they don't want to diminish any instructional class.
They need to vet it for socialism and yes.
And that the kids that don't, that parents that don't want their kids to see this speech, those kids can go to the library as an alternate.
Wow.
So my question is, at the 4 years my kids have been in this district, when politicians have walked into the building, last year Mark Kirk walked in to talk to my middle schooler about the importance of oil. He talked for 45 minutes.
Mm.
They shortened the class time to accommodate his speech. No note came home.
I mean, every president has done this. There has never been an issue.
Right.
You know, and seriously, are you kidding me? Stay in school.
Yeah. And
study.
Communist.
Wow.
I would submit to any parent in this nation who feels that I do this morning what I did, blast off an email to the principal, the super, and every school board member and say, if
good
this
idea.
Is the new precedent for how we're doing with democratically elected officials that want to speak to our kids, A, then any time a democratically elected official, there should be no class time altered.
Yep.
We should have a warning come home every time and C, for any
absolutely.
To talk to our kids,
that's right, Wendy.
We should have an opt-out system.
There you go. Right. Yep, there you go. All right, Wendy. Thank you, honey.
Any school that is not showing the president, during this speech, should ban all representatives of the government, including military recruiters.
By the way,
from their campus.
We will talk to Rude Pundit next hour. Has a great piece about this. You remember when George Bush Senior did the little speech to scare the out of your kids about drugs because he was trying to ram through his Drug Prevention Act or whatever that was. That was it was like a scared straight thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Realistically, teaching improv on cruise ships.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. Oop! Only about 2.5 more hours before your kid becomes a communist bastard.
Yep. Yes, I can't wait to see the armies of socialist children marching down the streets after school today.
Jackbooted thugs.
That's right.
Because of being instructed by that communist, Muslim, atheist, black Nazi.
They're going to come home, Kenyon. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Meredith in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Meredith.
Hi there.
Hello.
I've been wanting to tell you this for a long, long time. I don't know how to get our message out. But the fairness doctrine would help, and I wish Chris could find these tapes from the 80s when I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh before I was reformed, and he was all for the fairness doctrine in the 80s when we had some liberal media. He was all about the fairness doctrine.
Yeah, I'd be all for the way things are now if I was the one with 600 stations. instead of the rest of us with 60 stations or so.
Actually, I don't know that is true because Rush Limbaugh rose when the fairness doctrine was repealed. That's when he became the most popular.
But But he talked about it all the time, that he was for it.
Oh, really?
Before.
Well, Chris, get on that. What else do you have to do? Go find some 80s Rush Limbaugh's tapes. Won't that be fun?
Oh, I have some right here. No.
I keep them in my bag. All right, let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. She also is trying to do the Lord's work by talking to right-wingers about health care. Mm. Hello, Sue. Oh,
excuse me.
My
Hi.
Goodness.
She
needs some health care,
apparently. Great, but he doesn't have an Emmy like Jim.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Jim. I did two things. First of all, I called the superintendent of our schools on Friday and just said, you got to be kidding me, and they just laughed off this whole nonsense because I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, where people actually think.
Uh-huh.
But what I did is I posted on Facebook, look, the default position is if you're against this, you're a racist. Why don't you just admit it and be done with it? No swirling
around.
Yeah,
why would it suddenly be different when every other president in our history probably has done this, has talked to school kids?
And what is the significant difference between them? So this guy starts Facebooking me back, you know, comments. And so I get into a very nice discussion, and I just go line by line. And finally we end with, you know, thanking each other because it was civil. And it was like, here are my points. And he had his points, which were total right-wing garbage, but so what? But I finally said to him, let me make a deal with you. If Obama's speech on Tuesday is what I think it is, a nice, you know, encouragement to children to take responsibility, blah, 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 you will post on your Facebook wall that I, Sue Cohen, was right and you were wrong and that's the end of it and you made a mistake. And I will do the same. If he politicizes it in any way, do we have a deal? And at that point, he disappeared.
Yeah. If you don't want your child, by the way, indoctrinated with communist claptrap, like staying in school, then do the right thing. Urge them to quit school now.
Yes, be homeschool.
Be under the jackboot of the government.
Yes.
Be free.
Believe in the flat earth.
Don't use roads. The government paid for those.
Creationist.
Run. Yeah. Go, Elsa. Yes, exactly, like Elsa. Let your children run free. Let them go. Out of this socialist
born
indoctrination.
Dumb.
Go, quit school
and
now.
And wanting to stay born free.
All right, let's, Vic in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Vic.
There are so much to talk about, but here's a point, and it's a mathematical equation that has to do with the ignorance in this country. If you look at the Census Bureau, you will find that the mean education level in the United States is an eighth grade level. Therefore, if you got the conservative radio shows outnumbering you guys 2-1, you're going to have a lot of
more than 2-1.
Huh?
More than 2-1.
More than I'm being conservative.
Yeah.
More than two to one, and I'll tell you what you got there. Now, I work for an airline. I'm a pilot for an airline, and I happen to be a black guy. And I tell you what, I spend.
Is that allowed?
It's barely, and I'll tell you why. I spend 50% of my time trying to convince guys I know what I'm doing.
Wow.
So every decision I make, I have to keep reiterating the decision because they don't think in my position that I'm able to make the decision. So what you got to do, you have to really be firm with those type people and just draw a line there. And we've been like that for a long time, and I hope we get better, but I see Obama, he needs to drop a hammer. And if he doesn't drop a hammer on Wednesday, he's not going to be able to control this situation.
Yep, I gotcha. He is reportedly fired up and, in addition, ready to go for the speech on Wednesday.
If any of those people have ever heard of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes. All right, so the president's speech is Wednesday to Congress on the, he's saying the time is now. He said yesterday the time is now, obviously, for health care reform. Robert Gibbs said Sunday the president will draw some lines in the sand in his speech. His top aides say he still wants a government insurance option in health care legislation, but left room for compromise, which you tell me where we're at with this exactly. He said, we played the basket quote. He said, I continue to believe a public option within the basket of insurance choices would help improve quality and bring down costs. A CBS News poll last week said most Americans found the health care proposals discussed in Congress confusing and thought Obama had not clearly explained his plan. So that, to me, is job A in the speech.
According to the Rahm Emanuel plan, if they can get the insurance companies to behave themselves and stop dropping people off the rules because they're sick or because of pre-existing conditions and drop costs, and if they fail to do that, if all that works, it'll still be better than what we have now. I would have preferred single payer, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
But
Well, since this is the whole discussion we've been having, is a half a loaf better than no loaf? But I
could go for a trigger.
Let me explain what it is. So a coalition of liberal Democrats.
Or Mr. Ed.
A coalition
as
of liberal.
As long as it's a pony.
A coalition of liberal Democratic lawmakers, most of whom we know and have been on the show, came away from a conference call with President Obama believing the public option is still very much in play. But CNN reporting, just what Jim said, that the White House is preparing its own contingency bill if Congress veers too far to the left and can't get a deal on health care this fall. The White House is leaning much more heavily toward a trigger for the public option instead of mandating creation of government insurance. Lynn Woolsey, whom we know,
yes,
whom we've had on this show, Democrat of California, said caucus leaders expressed absolute commitment to the idea of a robust public option, said they expected to be part of any health care reform legislation. The president listened, asked many questions, and suggested the dialogue should continue. A follow-up meeting is going to take place, you said, today.
Yes, that's what I heard today. Yeah, I'm just worried that they're going to pull the rug out from the whole thing and do what the Republicans want, which is go back to zero and start
all over. You know, Jonathan Alder was on with us last week, and, you know, I disagree that the public option, I understand that it's not the entirety of health care reform, but I think it is a really important part of it. And so, but what he's saying is if you go back in time to whether it's Social Security or Medicare, you know, that it had to be done in stages and that there's still time to go back later and strengthen this. And as Jim said, it's better to get some of that stuff, like pre-existing conditions or, you know, things that make our system so egregious right now.
But I'm also
but you were right, Jim. We should have started from single payer.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if the Progressive Caucus pulls the rug out from under Obama, it's going to weaken him in 2012. He might very well get a President Gingrich and Republican majorities in both houses, you know. So that's the danger.
All right, let's go to Rob in Orange County. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, you guys. You know, on the healthcare thing, isn't it funny? Like, if you think about it, you know, one side doesn't want to talk about healthcare at all, you know, and the other side wants to talk about it. It's that cut and dry. And the Republicans, they just don't want to talk about it, and they like to sweep it under. But if you think about it, in August, most senators and congresspeople are on vacation. So Barack Obama is like a chess player, you know. He's moving, he shakes up the board, and all the pawns kind of move around. And then on Wednesday, he's going to attack. He does not believe in attacking like Bush, like just take it. Because what does that look like? It looks like, you know, angry black man taking it. But the reality is that we are going to get the public option. The reality is that we are going to get confident, people. We are going to get
Listen, I want to believe that, but Jim, this headline will shock you. I'm sure you were shocked by this headline. Harry Reid may compromise on public option.
Huh.
What?
Be still my heart.
He's in trouble in Nevada, by the way.
Yeah.
He signaled he's open. This is the problem. Isn't this like showing your hand in poker? Well, I've got an ace and a four. But,
and he's from Nevada. He should know better than that. God.
Like anyone that's done any negotiation of any kind, don't you know? You can't. Well, I'd literally like this. But I'd be willing to do that.
No! He should know from poker faces.
Yeah.
But the problem is the Republicans have the propaganda high ground. They've thrown all this garbage out there that's complete distraction. And we should have started showing actual people who have suffered under the current system.
Yeah.
Like have a different set of people every week.
He said, Reid said, the Finance Committee negotiations over a trigger for a public option are something we're going to look at. And as we explained this, the government would only start offering health insurance if the private insurance industry did not meet certain benchmarks for covering the uninsured. Reid suggested the Democrats could live with a proposal like the so-called public option. See, like we were saying, it's like the butter in movie theaters. It's it's a public option like substance that we're willing to.
Ever seen it in its solid state?
Ooh,
I used to work in a movie theater.
It's not
have you ever seen a public option like substance in its solid state? That is not. That is not pretty either. 43 minutes after the hour. It's a cliffhanger, folks. Back with more on the where healthcare is going as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the Republican slate for 2012. Michelle Bachmann and Janine Turner. Overdrive.
Yes. We wish. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Luke.
Morning.
Morning.
I hope Bachmann runs in 212. God, that would be fun. Oh,
awesome.
Boy. I was just calling to let you know that I'm continuing my campaign of subversion by actually showing the president's speech today.
That's right, because you're a school teacher.
Yeah. Oh. And it's an extra credit assignment. If they want to do it, they're going to have to download a left-leaning article and a right-leaning article in reaction to the speech and discuss it. Discuss the spin. That's the extra credit.
Great idea.
That sounds oddly like democracy.
Critical thinking. Who knew?
Yes. Interesting. All right, Lavender. Thank you. Let's go to what?
How do you test for that? You can't do that. There's not a test for it.
David Atlanta, you're on the
Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Got to
be a right answer.
Easy, easy. Bound boy, I'm on the air. This is my time. You're eating into my time.
Oh.
Dave from Atlanta here. I've called a couple of times. I'm deep, deep in what used to be Newt Gingrich's district, and I should be your roving reporter down here because the crazy is intense down here. Called to talk about the school thing and the Obama thing, and it's, you know, when you think you haven't seen the heights of hypocrisy or pure doublespeak, the Republicans do it again. I mean, if there is a bigger, pure testament to hard work in education, bigger than Barack Obama, please tell me.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, my God. And the indoctrinating thing, what are they doing to our kids with this garbage, if not indoctrinating them into this hyper-partisan Crazyville.
Yep, exactly. By the way, speaking of Newt Gingrich territory, Newt Gingrich on the president, frankly, speaking to frankly the children.
It is good to have the president of the United States say to young people across America, stay in school, study, and do your homework. It's good for you and it's good for America.
What?
I'm guessing that was maybe just the first part.
No,
that was it.
That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, let's go to John in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. John.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Emmy Award-winning Luke. And regular Luke.
And regular. It comes in regular and Emmy Award-winning now.
That's right. Hey, you know what? My faith is restored. I think this whole thing, President Obama is doing a big head fake, and he's going to come out on Wednesday when he gives his speech, and he's going to be seen as the voice of reason because all these idiot Republicans have, you know, put their stuff out there, and he's going to be seen as the voice of reason, I think. And he's going to back the public option, and I may be deluding myself.
You're having your American president fantasy like I am, the movie, where he comes out and gives the big barn burner speech.
But being reasonable is a sign of weakness to the extreme right wing.
Yeah.
Be president this weekend.
I've got a question for all these folks who say, you know, we're going to pull the plug on grandma and this is all about illegal immigrants, and you've heard all the lies. I've got a question for all those folks. What are you going to do? What's your answer? What's your solution?
That's exactly it.
Can we go on vacation again?
Thank you, Jim.
They have no.
Thank you.
They have no.
That's essentially the right wing argument. Okay, the president.
The debate's been good.
No, it hasn't.
And that's important because we've got to get this right. But every debate, at some point, comes to an end. At some point, it's time to decide. At some point, it's time to act. Ohio, it's time to act.
So, once again, White House officials yesterday, Sunday probably, signaling a government health insurance option is negotiable. As Obama prepares for his speech, David Axelrod said a public plan is not the core issue in the health care debate. The president believes the public option is a good tool. It shouldn't define the whole health care debate, however. Again, I keep saying I agree it is not the whole debate, but I'm like our last caller. I still have a hope that this may happen.
We need some leverage on the insurance companies.
Asked if Obama would reject legislation that didn't include it, he responded, "We're not going to prejudge where the process will be. I doubt we are going to get into heavy veto threats in the president's speech." In this call, I guess, with, the Progressive Caucus, who will meet with again today, yeah, among other caucuses, by the way, that are clearly for a robust public option, Obama refused to be pinned down on the issue. Gibbs said Obama will tomorrow night refocus the debate on the benefits of overhauling the system, more security and lower costs for the majority of people who have health insurance, and new ways to help self-employed people and small businesses get coverage. He said people will leave that speech knowing where he stands. He said Obama is considering offering his own health care legislation instead of letting Congress sort out the details. Yeah, I mean, I think either way, okay, it's time for that. Because that's the problem. Like, the polls are showing people are just confused because the right wing has thrown so many. First of all, there's so many bills, and the right wing has thrown so much stuff at the wall that people are confused.
Yes.
President.
Hope is we can do it in a bipartisan fashion, but the most important thing is getting it done for the American people.
All right. Julie in Seattle on healthcare. Hello, Julie. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie, and Emmy Award-winning King of the Universe. I think we should pause for a moment as Low Road Democrats to consider that this was the keystone issue that Democrats ran on last time. It defines the presidency, and ask ourselves, who's responsible for the miserable path to getting this done? And it's not the Republicans, because face facts, Obama could have proposed giving us all $1 million, our own doctor and a pony, and they would have thrown up the same wall of nonsense. I think we need to focus, number one, on getting a liberal positioned to take over Harry Reid's job, because he is going to have his butt kicked in 2010. And the other thing is, those people who sat on the Finance Committee and held this bill so that the Republicans had a month to run loose.
Well, Julie, that's one of the things with the president's polling. People are pointing out it's liberals that he's losing. I mean, that's part of it. It's like he was never going to get any Republican support. The problem is, you're right, he's got to stand firm for what we all voted
for.
But
Obama had a plan, and the Democrats in the Senate, not the Congress, but the Senate, they knew what his plan was. It was to have a bill emerged pretty much fully formed and agreed on before August, at which point they would have all gone home and sold a bill, and the president could have moved into campaign mode like he did yesterday, 50 miserable days ago, and those people, Baucus and Conrad and Feinstein and the other people who sat on that committee and stalled and said, it doesn't matter if we have another month so long as we get our way. Those people need to be held to account, and we need to just focus our efforts on making the Democratic Party in the Senate behave like Democrats. That's my opinion.
Julie, don't you have more important things than saving the healthcare system in America? Don't you have Beaver News to research?
I do, but your inbox is bouncing back the Beaver News, Stephanie. I'm getting inbox full. Your box is full.
Dear.
So the Beaver News has piled up for a week.
Dear God. Can't someone check my box and see what's happening?
I have informed the web monkeys to take a look at your box.
Thank
box
you,
is clogged with Beaver,
apparently. Chris always does his.
Thank you. Chris takes good care of Mama's box, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
This must be the first time my box has ever rejected anything. 57 minutes after the hour.
Usually it clamps down and doesn't let go.
Stand-up news is next, starring the Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit coming up this hour on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about all things rude and pundity.
and all the rude things we missed during our vacation.
Mm-hmm. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, Emmy Award winning Jim Ward. To those of you that don't have an Emmy, like Stephanie Miller. All right.
I don't think I've ever won an award that you could put before my name. That kind of sucks.
Aww.
I hadn't really won anything up to that point either.
Okay.
All right. Didn't you win some Husky Boy trophy at summer camp or something?
I used to get a lot of participation ribbons.
Sweet. All right. Last to talk about, obviously, the president's big speech on health care tomorrow night. Herding Democrats together, that'll be the... One of the jobs of the day. Representative Barbara Lee, Democrat of the great state of California.
He communicated this very clearly to say that the only way that that can happen for those that are already insured is to have a robust public option.
Senator Kent Conrad, Democrat of the great state of North Dakota.
The fact of the matter is there are not the votes in the United States Senate for the public option. There never have been. So to continue to chase that rabbit, I think, is just a wasted effort.
We're Democrats. Tell us a story about the rabbit again. Okay. The vice president on unemployment.
We're making progress with substantially less job loss than we saw a few months ago.
All right. And only two more hours until your child becomes a communist, socialist, Kenyan bastage.
Mm-hmm.
Hide the children. They have to listen to boilerplate from President Obama, which is what this will be. They'll be bored to death.
Thank you, Fred Barnes.
Okay. Guess what we got?
Wow, I fell asleep just listening to that little segment. I'm being bored to death.
Marianne in Illinois works with Oily Taint. The head of the birther movement. And Marianne, like Oily?
Oily.
Would like her country back. Hello, good morning, Marianne.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Basically, you have to understand I'm a little sick, so my voice is a little raspy. So.
Oh, that's all right.
Basically, there is a discovery hearing today in Santa Ana Courthouse at the U.S. District Court at 411 West 4th Street in Santa Ana.
Let me write that down. Yeah, put that on my MapQuest.
Okay.
It's going to be at 8:30.
Okay, Pacific time. And this will be regarding the president's Kenyan birth certificate?
It's going to be regarding the eligibility altogether.
Oh.
What makes him ineligible?
What makes him ineligible? He was born in Kenya, in Mombasa.
Oh, in Mombasa.
And then his
according to
father
that Australian
is Kenyan.
Document.
And he's never.
Are you going to print out that Kenyan birth certificate and maybe put some, some glitter and maybe pasta on it, so it'll make it a little more authentic looking?
And basically, according to the Constitution, both parents have to be American citizen, and his father is Kenyan, so that rules him out as well.
No, they don't.
And then also, he's an Indonesian citizen. He's never been an American citizen. Immigration laws.
Well, Marianne, will you be our official birther reporter for the Stephanie Miller Show? Will you let us know what happens today? You'll call me tomorrow?
I can do that.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm going to try to give her a call sometime later today.
Great.
I know she's got a lot of plaintiffs and witnesses and from
Orly Tates does?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they will be at the courthouse.
You promise me you'll call me tomorrow and tell me what happened, right?
I promise you.
Okay.
All right.
You are the official birther reporter for the Stephanie Miller Show, all right?
Also, what's coming up, too,
quite a phlegmy laugh you have there. I appreciate that.
Also coming up on Thursday, she's also representative of a female military officer. She's also a doctor. She's got orders to go to Iraq on September 12th. So that's going to be held in the U.S. District Court in Georgia.
And she shouldn't, because the president's not really the commander-in-chief, because he's not really president, because he's not really American, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Marion. We'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow.
And as you recall, Mr. Cook was revoked.
Okay. All right.
His orders were revoked.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
So he's a Kenyan, Indonesian, African-American, Nazi, liberal, communist.
Marianne thinks she made a new friend.
Muslim atheist.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
She sounded completely rational, though phlegmy. I just want to keep a close eye on the Oily Taint and what's happening with the birther movement.
And it's my understanding that the Constitution says nothing about a person's parents being American.
The Clinton campaign might have picked up on some of this stuff,
I didn't want to challenge her. Things were going well. All right. Like, I had a long telephone conversation with my right-wing brother yesterday.
Oh, the tool?
I actually made him laugh at a socialist joke.
Oh.
But Jeff in LeClaire, Iowa, a fine American like me, We share something. Hey, Steph, like you, I have a right-wing older brother who sends me emails consisting of long rambling screeds against Obama and the Democrats, too. I used to respond by quickly fact-checking his emails, which would then cause him to go all caps and bold fonts on me and send back a 5,000-word stream of consciousness tirade that drifts from one unrelated topic to another.
Computer says, yeah.
Yes, that's my brother.
Yes.
And he claims he has a job of some sort. I don't know how he has time. Since he rarely states actual facts or even a plausible argument to support his views, he usually resorts to petty insults and snide remarks.
Yes. Computer says, yeah.
I read one of them last week, didn't I?
Yes,
you
did.
A week before, yeah. Strangely, he gets equally upset if I don't respond at all or if I just respond with something humorous. I've even tried feeding his ego by replying that he's right and I can't refute his brilliant political analysis, but that just sends him further over the top. Since I long ago gave up any hope of any kind of meaningful political discussion and it's no longer fun to pull his strings and watch his head explode, I pretty much quit reading or responding to his emails. That's me too.
Yeah.
Computer says, yeah.
That's what I do now. So I was wondering, perhaps your older brother could start corresponding with my older brother and they could just feed off each other's rage. Then we wouldn't have to keep hitting the delete button all the time. Jeff, we're problem solvers here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, just let the crazies shout at each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a public service. Let's just connect our psychotic right-wing relatives to each other. And then I won't have to keep, I keep having to dust off my delete button because I've hit it so many times.
Yeah.
Gotten grubby.
Must be sticking by now.
Chardonnay stains on. Exactly. It has sticky Chardonnay stains on it. All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Top Republicans inspired by President Obama's recent drop in popularity are newly optimistic about their chances of challenging him in 2012 and are focusing on some surprising names. Some major donors and GOP strategists have approached Joe Scarborough.
What?
He's not far right enough for the Republican Party.
Host of Morning.
When it feels like it.
Host of MSNBC's Morning Joe, which would open up a slot for...
Oh, in that case.
The Stephanie Miller Show with newly minted Emmy Award winner Jim Ward.
Yes.
About a national run, according to party sources. Bob Dole.
Bob Dole says Bob Dole ought to stop referring to Bob Dole in the third person. Makes
exactly.
Bob Dole seem like fruitcake. Bob Dole ought to cut it out.
Bob Dole told Politico that he would like to see Army four-star General David Petraeus run for president as a latter-day Ike. We have President Obama on all this.
My candidacy, as well as my presidency, have expressed my absolute core beliefs in the way I believe the political discourse of America should be conducted. It is a message of inclusiveness, of outreach, of bringing together the warring parties of a fractious and contentious system, which so often produces gridlock and stalemate and does not address the real needs of the American people. So, as you may well imagine, I was horrified by the results of the last election left the Republicans completely out of seats of power in both houses of Congress, as well as here in the White House. Although their time of rule was an utter shambles, terrifying in its destructive effects on both the lives of the populace and the very fabric of government that we depend on for our identity. It was so obvious to me that the mere fact of their incompetent venality and willful destructive ignorance should not be a barrier to their being included in every major legislative initiative. Their demented attacks on my person, background, and intents is no cause to stop seeking their approval or allowing them to alter the course of my legislative agenda. There are some cynics and malcontents in my own party who quibble, look, we won both houses and the presidency. Why do we permit this obstructionism? I repeat, that is the old politics of division and strife, and I will have none of it. Mortgage relief, true single-payer health care reform, the prosecution of the vilest criminal behavior by elected officials since Boss Tweed or the Teapot Dome. Yes, these things could occur, but that would be allowing the best to be the enemy of the good, and it's good to allow the Republican camel in the tent. I'd rather have them inside the tent ing on us than outside the tent ing on us. Why should they have to stand out in the cold? So I've made it my mission to keep them involved until they can win back both houses of Congress in 2010. Can I keep the Democratic Party from growing a pair long enough to ensure a Republican resurgence? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Oh, dear. I believe Jim has gone south on the president.
Yeah.
And finally, Oh, the kiddie headline. California's real death panels. Insurers deny 21% of claims.
Wow.
More than one of every five requests for medical claims for insured patients, even when recommended by a patient's physician, are rejected by California's largest private insurers, amounting to a very real death panel in practice daily in the nation's biggest state, according to data released Wednesday by the California Nurses Association.
I think the highest number was 39 point something.
Mm. Yes. One of the companies. Yeah. Yes. Pacific Care, 39.6%.
Wow. So the stock must be going through the roof.
That sounds an awful like somebody coming between you and your doctor. Mm-hmm. We have, who do we have?
We have a representative of the health insurance industry.
Oh, good.
Greetings. We're your friendly neighborhood health insurance company. You know, the people who've been bleeding you dry like a hemophiliac on a Coumadin drip for years and years. Here at Smegma, we've been denying claims at the rate of 32.7%. That's pretty good. But for the sake of our stockholders, we're shooting for 40% with a bullet, and we mean literally. If you miserable, useless eaters won't just die already from your cancer, heart disease, or kidney failure, we're prepared to come to your hospital bed and shoot you through the head. Let's see Obama's death panels compete with that. Oh, but you'd need a liver transplant or bone marrow to fight your osteocarcinoma. Well, you think we're in for this for your health? No, we're in it for the filthy lucre. You think we're gonna give up one of our Swiss chalets or Tuscan villas because you got a little boo-boo? It is to laugh. You're gonna die anyway. Might as well be now. What about those outrageous premiums you've been paying? They keep going up and up, you ask? Well, let's see. Here's a 50. I think I'll use it to light my Cohiba cigar. Oh, that high-quality tobacco suddenly gives me the need to take a righteous dump. Oh, yeah. That's a load off my mind. I think I'll use this wad of hundreds to wipe my ass. Sayonara, suckers. Corn. When did I eat corn?
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all your week. Oh, boy. That's that combination of highbrow and lowbrow you come to love from Stephanie Miller Players, including the Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward. And if you'd like more of that...
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there is a title ad at the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Go there, check out the album, buy it, why don't you?
He won an Emmy for his diction.
I have an Emmy.
Read more about it at Stephanie Flynn.
Stephanie Flynn. 20 minutes
after the hour, back with what'll be in the president's speech, which is apparently still it's still doughy. That's what I'm told. We'll tell you what we think is going to happen as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Janet in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the president's speech indoctrination, whatever. Hello, Janet.
Hello. The right wing can be as nutty as they want to be because President Obama, he's the leader of the free world, and he can speak to our kids anytime he wants to.
Yes, like every other president has.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
Millions of kids are going to be inspired to do great things. Instead of one Bill Gates, we're going to have hundreds. Instead of one Steve Jobs, we're going to have hundreds. Instead of one Van Jones, we're going to have hundreds. Green jobs, technology, we're leaders. We're not followers. Now, we've been dumbed down enough, but our president says, no more dumbing down of our kids, and I thank him for that.
Well, and I thank him, too. He may say crazy communistical things like this to your children this morning.
It just goes to show you how one voice can change a room. And if it can change a room, it can change a city. And if it can change a city, it can change a state. And if it can change a state, it can change a nation. If it can change a nation, it can change the world.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay, Lars in...
It's going to inspire them to do communist, Muslim, atheist, Nazi things.
Mm-hmm. Lars in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Lars.
Welcome. Thank you. Good morning, Mama. I love you in a sweaty and vulgar fashion.
That's the only way.
Thank you.
I have, you were talking a while back about Newt Gingrich and how surprising, how pleasantly surprised you were that he supported this. Don't be fooled. This is what these guys do. They let the Glenn Becks and the, what was your last caller, the Marianne,
the official birther reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right, and they let those folks lead so that they seem less crazy, and mm-hmm. then their ideas will be like, oh, yeah, we can do that, no problem.
Yeah,
we'll
that seems reasonable.
There.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I hear you. Okay, yeah. Frankly, we already knew Newt Gingrich was crazy, frankly.
Frankly.
Judy in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, frankly.
Frankly.
Hi, Stephanie. I was wondering if I could be the official Carol Burnett-loving UCLA Bruin assistant principal of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
Two of our favorite things.
Carol Burnett went to UCLA.
Yes, I know.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Judy.
I'm an assistant principal at a K-8, and I cannot believe the emails we've gotten of parents threatening to keep their kids home if we show the speech.
Is unbelievable. I mean, it really is.
I can't wrap my head around it.
I mean, and how insulting is that? He's the president of the United States. We'd like to vet that first. Exactly what are you going to say? Like,
you know what?
Since when have we asked the president, I'd like to see your speech?
The speech has been online since yesterday. If they haven't been able to vet it by now, then they should be going to school.
Yeah, it's the president that needs vetting. That's what that is.
Communist, Muslim, Nazi, atheist propaganda.
Yeah,
it's just like a Kenyan Indonesian to do that sort of thing.
Our good friend Michelle Malkin got the scary ball rolling on Wednesday, accusing Obama of using students as junior lobbyists.
She looks kind of Indonesian.
And
Jim.
And disgraceful abuses of power. Out-of-control activists have enlisted their secondary school charges into pro-illegal immigration protests, gay marriage ceremonies, environmental propaganda stunts, and anti-war events.
Oh.
Whatever.
I can't believe someone impregnated her.
Oh, like that was better than what Jim said. Let's go to John in Boston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I decided I wanted to be a little masochistic this morning and torture myself, so I listened to Laura Ingraham for a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mother of God, now I know why tigers eat their young. They were going on and on about, you know, Obama speaking to the youth today, speaking
yes.
to our kids and school and mm-hmm. everything else. And I'm wondering, if Bush was still president and we liberals or Democrats or whoever raised a stink about our kids listening to him, we'd be called un-American and mm-hmm. unpatriotic. Right.
Thank you. More on that with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you think naming a destructive storm after a woman is sexist, you obviously have never seen
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, I have a Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward.
Yes.
I guess quote for you this morning. Who said yesterday for Labor Day, as people don't actually understand a thing about socialism, keep spouting that vaguely moderate Barack Obama is some unholy descendant of Cesar Chavez or Emma Goldman, the Rude Pundit is offering some quotes from a real socialist, Eugene Debs, who ran for president, as you know, as a Socialist Party candidate five times between 1900 and 1920. Who wrote that yesterday?
Robert E. Lee.
No, actually contained in the quote is Rude Pundit, who wrote that yesterday on the Rude Pundit. .org.
What?
Jim, rudepundit.com.
Rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Exactly. What's the matter with you?
What's the difference?
See, real socialists aren't exactly known for subtlety in their rhetoric. They don't want to trick workers into uniting. They want to show the workers the failure of the capitalist system, which will make them willingly join. And as you can see below, Debs will kick your ass and will take your name, since organizing was the foundation of the socialist movement. Who said that?
Lee Merriweather.
No. That's funny, though. Rude Pundit. What? Why, Jim, who is it?
Hey, who's your papa? It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit.
I get it, which is why you had Lee quotes. Okay. Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. I haven't heard a Lee Merriweather reference in so long.
We have the same agent, actually. Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, there's a fun fact.
Did she win an Emmy? Or?
Not recently, I don't think, but she may have.
Good morning, Rude.
Good morning.
Yeah, isn't it amazing, particularly with, you know, it looking like the president may cave on the public option? It's like it's support among liberals that he's actually losing, don't you think?
Oh.
If only he were socialist.
I know. You know, I keep wondering. People just don't know what socialist. You know what's socialist? Public schools. Public schools are socialist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the people that are it's in the Communist Manifesto. It's like, yeah. You know, people just don't get how socialist they really are. They're just picking and choosing among the socialist things that make them less queasy, I guess.
Yeah. Now, we were just talking about, well, as you call her, barking mad Michelle Malkin. She was the one that, she is under your subtitle. No, really, they've lost their minds. More incidents of conservative brain damage. You write that she discusses in her latest column something titled something like Liberal Dingles Will Eat Your Babies. That a school principal in Utah apologized for showing the I Pledge video produced by Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore. And why was that?
Well, because they all say things like, you know, I pledge to work for the environment. I pledge to be a better father. And then at some point, Demi Moore creepily says something like, you know, I pledge to serve, to be a servant to Barack Obama.
Oh, dear.
But it's in the list of, I mean, there are things in there that are very conservative, and it's just an innocuous little celebrity video that was made for the inauguration. This principal shows it. People freak out and think that it's indoctrination, and he was forced to apologize. And you know, there was this woman said, this woman from the Utah Eagle Forum said,
I love what you say about that. You say, you said that the state's chapter of Phyllis Schlafly's organization, holy, is she still alive?
Yeah.
I mean, why does her corpse just keeps getting propped up everywhere? And she said, we do not pledge to be a servant of the United States. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Isn't that what being a citizen is supposed to be? Is you're supposed to ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country?
Yep.
So quaint.
And this is so great you point out about the president's speech today, which, by the way, an hour and a half until your child becomes a socialist bastard. You have in your posting in the realm of you have to be kidding. Obama's school speech makes conservatives cry. You point out, you know, as we have, that other presidents, particularly George Bush Sr., spoke to kids. And he gave that, you say it was trying to scare the living out of kids about drugs.
Yeah, you know, people keep focusing on the 1991 speech he made, which did cause a little bit of an uproar, where he was in a classroom and it was essentially like it was a stay in school kind of thing. But he also made this speech in 1989 that was the stay off drugs things, where he's saying things like, you know, the nightmare of America that some people have to live and crack babies and, you know.
Ugh.
Shaking and twitching. And everybody was cool with it, you know?
Well, you were saying, and also it was blatantly political in that he was trying to get Congress to pass, as you say, a tough and useless anti-drug program.
Right, yeah. He was trying to get that passed, and that was the context, and he had just given a speech to the nation about drugs where he had set up a DEA sting in Lafayette Park across across from the White House. And that's my Louisiana coming out. Lafayette Park. Sorry,
uh-huh,
Lafayette
yes.
is how we say it in Louisiana. And he was in order for him to hold up a bag of crack cocaine at the speech. So
it was show and tell day. He had to bring up uh-huh.
But nobody cared. Nobody cared.
Right.
It was he's been in office. He wants to make a speech. Whatever.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's don't pretend that this isn't, you know, to me, more part of this racism. It's like, oh, we'd like to vet that speech. I mean, since when does any president, they asked George H.W. Bush, and he was saying creepy communistical things like this.
Write me a letter about ways you can help us achieve our goals.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see? Well, that's an excellent soundbite. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
He was, he put out lesson plans for things like that. I remember when I was a kid getting something like right to the Ford administration about how you can help with recycling programs. Yeah, and I got a letter from Gerald Ford saying, thanking me for my interest in recycling.
Was it all in caps? There's a picture of me when I was a hirsute tot with a unibrow.
Hirsute.
with President Ford. When I was, how old was I in that picture, Chris?
You were like 15?
Yeah.
Our long national nightmare is over. Oh, crap!
Oh, God!
It's the beginning!
Oh!
Yeah.
Thank God for Democrats, and thank God for eyebrow threading.
Yes.
You point out in your inimitable, rude fashion, if the President of the United States wants to make some little statement to students, he gets to do it. And unless he really has got spinning hypno-eyes telling them to kill their hippie grandparents, who the cares?
And it's that what they're doing, I love that Bill Ayers keeps getting brought up in this context, because they're essentially doing what all these parents that want to keep their kids out of school and talk badly about the president, they're doing what Bill Ayers wants them to do, you know, question authority, disrespect authority, think for yourselves.
They're
not really thinking for themselves, they're actually thinking for, you know, Rush Limbaugh.
And as usual, you have a loving message for our right-wing friends in which you say, oh, sweet, stupid mother, we shouldn't have been allowed to breed. Like it or not, when someone is the president, that president is the president of all of us. So sorry, conservatives madly craning their necks to lick their own over Obama's speech. He's your president, too.
And the parents, some of these kids have got to be embarrassed by their parents going on Fox News. Did you see the woman that broke down crying about what Obama might teach her child?
Oh, dear God.
And then my favorite this weekend was also Fox News, which I guess I watch way too much of.
Yes. Yeah, what's wrong with
we'll
you?
We'll do that for you. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, I got to get the bile going. So it was this. They were interviewing this woman who was saying that she was going to keep her daughter home from school and teach her what her share of the federal debt was and how long it will take her to work until she pays off her share.
And I'm sure she mentioned that George Bush contributed largely to that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
But then to the Fox reporter's credit, he did ask, so what about when Ronald Reagan gave a speech? Would you have kept her home then? And she said, no, I trusted him more.
Oh God.
Because, you know, Obama, in case you haven't noticed...
haven't noticed, he's black.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I hate when that's pointed out. I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rube.
No, that's okay. I think we're crossing jokes.
It's like when the joke lightsabers cross.
Yes. Exactly. He's one of those welfare queens in Cadillacs.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think
Rude.
You know what I'm talking about.
Rude, before you go, the healthcare speech tomorrow night and the whole public option and what's going to happen, what is your prediction on where we are now?
I think he's been playing his cards very close to the vest. And what I want to see him do is I want to see him pants Republicans and, you know, show that no matter how big they think their balls are, they still have tiny penises. You know, I think that he's got it. There's something that he's got to do to show that he's actually in command of the situation. And I think he's got to go all in on the public option.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something. He started this battle. You know, this was a battle that could have been put off for a few more months or till a few more things got accomplished or whatever. But he went in as the first big battle of his presidency to get this going. He's got to show that he knows.
Yep, I hear you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the first joke of the morning. I appreciate it.
Yay!
Oh, is this the first this long in the show?
Not really sure we can say that. But anyway, Rude, it is rudepundit.blogspot.com. It is Rude and hilarious. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks.
All right, there he goes. This is Rude.
That's
our friend Rude.
That's why he's the Rude Pundit. That was Rude.
He mentioned it. No twigs and berries. Okay, 43 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the president's big healthcare speech tomorrow night as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is Steve. All right, fellas.
You're singing the sweet version. This is Tiago Pereira.
Yes, yes. You know.
Who doesn't know that? 48 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Although we're not allowed to correct Jim Ward ever again because he won an Emmy.
That's right. Jim Ward.
Dave in Minneapolis. It's for Jim. Jim!
Yes?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Good. Got a couple comments, but first I'd like to congratulate you.
Thank you.
And suggest a new name for you. I think you need to be called Jim Emmy Award from now on.
Ah, there we go. Uh-huh. Okay. Emmy A. Ward.
Got it.
I would hear a lot. It'd be really cool.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'd also like to comment on everything that's going on with the health care debate. I think it's become clear that America is no longer a contest between Republicans and Democrats. It's not liberal conservative. It's just intelligence versus ignorance.
Yep. I agree with you. I was telling you, I was on vacation, overheard a couple of right-wingers talking about health, and I couldn't help myself. I had to go sit down. I just am like, we can't debate about things that aren't even true.
It's just smart versus dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
And my last request is, if I could Jim sing me a bit of Kim Jong-il doing the Girl from Ipanema?
Oh, I wish I could remember all the words. Dave, that is so immature.
The girl from Ipanema go walking, and when she walking, the guy she walking go, I got a typo dog!
Okay, that's the sort of the thing that Hollywood rewards with an Emmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't get that from Tom Hartman.
No, you do not. Oh, by the way, speaking of our good friend Tom Hartman.
What?
I got a letter from a fine American who was very distressed.
No? Why?
Yes. Someone named Polly, about that no good Tom Hartman.
Uh-oh.
Dear Steph, last week I was witness to a matter of utmost importance, and I knew I had to bring the matter to your attention. For some time now, you've been saying that you and Tom Hartman's radio shows have different purposes. You and Tom have different roles to play. Yes, that's true.
Computer says, yeah.
Tom's role is to be brilliant, write PhD-level books about complex subjects. Yours is to tell fart jokes.
Yes.
Yes. These are very clearly defined roles, and neither of you should infringe on the other's field of expertise. But last week, Tom Hartman told a fart story.
What?
What?
How dare he?
What? That's like dogs and cats living together.
A little worse than a fart story.
Tom told his audience about a story from Denmark where a man's fart ignited during surgery and set his genitals on fire. That story is mine. It involves genitals and farts.
And damage to genitals, which is hilarious.
Which would have led Jim to do a story about America's funniest vaginal mishaps.
That's right.
He led into the story by talking about someone who wanted to test whether farts could ignite by standing bent over with his butt to the mirror or lighter at the ready when his mother walked in. Tom actually used the word fart. This is an outrage. I agree. It goes against the natural order of things. Your job is the telling of fart jokes, not his. You must take actions on this egregious infringement of your natural role. Number one, tell Tom Hartman it's your job to tell fart jokes, and he should mind his own business and go write a book about the first law of thermodynamics as it relates to economic theory or something. Number two.
He probably has it.
Yeah.
Sure, he did that this morning. Number two, you should see how he likes it by infringing on his natural role. You should devote a segment of your show to the discussion of string theory as a possible reconciliation between quantum mechanics and the theory of relativity. That would fix his fart turf infringing ass.
Uh-huh.
So here now is my discussion. Maybe we'll get to that next hour. A concerned listener and resident of Orchard Park, New York, just up the transit from Mama's hometown, Lackport or something. Polly. Thank you, Polly, for narking on Tom Hartman.
I think you have to write a couple hundred books now.
Yeah.
How dare
you? You haven't even written one book.
Why I never. All right.
And you call yourself a radio host.
Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. Yeah, in reference to this hearing today, is it, regarding Barack Obama's birth certificate?
Yes. Our official birther reporter will call in tomorrow to tell us what happened.
Ah, well, they are just one Republican appointee away from having this story get any kind of credence, and it'll be on Lou Dobbs, top story, Campbell Brown, top story.
Thank God CNN won't book any radio hosts to talk about it, because they don't bring any credibility to the issues.
That judge is on the phone right now with high-ranking Republican officials who are threatening his wife, his kids, his dog, his lifestyle, and outing all his lovers.
Hey, speaking of outing, by the by, did you see this, the breaking news out of South Carolina?
What?
Yeah.
I missed that.
In a letter to South Carolina legislators, a prominent state senator said Governor Mark Sanford's supporters were behind recent internet rumors that Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer is gay.
Yeah.
And he encouraged the General Assembly to remove the disgraced governor immediately. He's trying to hold on to power, so they're floating rumors. However... This is what passes for, I guess, a progressive in South Carolina in defending Andre Bauer. This is what is it not Don Knotts? I don't know. Somebody named Knotts is the guy. He's the state legislature. Yeah. So I've known Andre since he was 8 years old. Ain't a homosexual bone in his body. That boy's a good boy.
Oh dear.
That's like the John McCain. No, ma'am. The president is not an Arab. He's a decent family man. No.
Oh, boy.
He's a good boy. He ain't got a homosexual bone in his body.
What do you think of that?
Oh, boy.
Am I a romantic?
He's only got the good heterosexist kind of bones in his body.
Mm-hmm.
He never had no other kind of bone.
No other bones in his body.
In his body. No, not at all. None.
Just the ones that belong there.
Straight ones. Straight bones. No funny bones.
No, you're missing.
You know I think you're missing his joke.
I got the joke.
Okay. You were just trying to skate right over it.
I've been in eighth grade with you guys for a long time. Trust me, I got it. President Obama plans to reach out to Republicans, and reassure rather than confront his liberal supporters when he addresses the joint session of Congress tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern.
You know he could reassure your liberal supporters, don't reach out to Republicans anymore.
Exactly. There you go. Politico says he will lay out a specific president's plan, even if he doesn't call it that. He will not confront or scold the left. This is a case for bold action, not a stick in the eye to our supporters. He will make an overture to Republicans, because that's gone so well. He will make it clear it's better to get something done than nothing. He will try to reassure the left about his commitment to a public option. Aides say they are rethinking what he will say about this. He will meet with a lot of the caucus members of Progressive Caucus and others today. He wants to thread the needle of voicing support for a public option without promising to kill health care reform to get it. Liberal congressional leaders, of course, have been unyielding so far in their support for it on a conference call that he held from Camp David. So we will get news on that today. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll have somebody on tomorrow who will talk to the president today. One top official said he has consistently said he thinks the public option is an important way to make sure there's both cost and competition control. He's also said consistently if someone can show him a better way or another way to get there, he'd be happy to look at it. But he's never committed to going with another way. He always said he'd be happy to look at any proposal that gets to these goals, but he thinks this is probably the better way to do it. The speech apparently still in flux over the weekend because key decisions are being hashed out. So, once again, there is still time to speak out, call and write the White House and your representatives. The Progressive Caucus said caucus leaders expressed absolute commitment to the idea of a robust public option, said they expected to be part of any health care reform legislation. The president listened, asked questions, suggested the dialogue continue, which, as we said, it will today. So we will update you on what happens with that. All right, let's go to Morgan in Madison on the health care debate. Hello, Morgan. Welcome.
Hello, Mama. Hello, Jim. Hello, fake boyfriend. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I'll start with a shocker sentence, which is if we have a single-payer health plan, it will literally kill me. And now I will tell you why.
All right.
Because I've heard people on your show say, oh, you know, plans like Medicare. Medicare is great. Medicare right now only pays 20% of your insurance coverage. For me, I had a kidney pancreas transplant 10 years ago now. And
why are you so greedy? Why do you need so many organs?
I know, right? I'm an alien autopsy waiting to happen. But one of my anti-rejection meds costs $800 a month.
Hang on. You're going to have to tell the rest of that story after the break. That tinsel talk and much more with the Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, Emmy Award winning voice deity Jim Ward, who won an Emmy over the vacation.
That's me.
Or me, Stephanie Miller, who has no awards of any kind.
Where are you going to keep your Emmy?
It's on the mantle next to the flat screen TV right now.
All right.
We're waiting here. There's a space on the other side of the mantle for the next one. Should come along any decade now.
I've cleared out my entire mantle with space for Marconis or something that I've never won. All right. More importantly, the president's big speech on health care to Congress will be tomorrow night. The president this weekend.
Your voice can change the world. Your voice will get health care passed. Your voice will make sure that the American worker is protected. You can build America. I need your help. Thank you, Cincinnati. Are you fired up? Ready to go? Fired up? Ready to go? Fired up?
All right, I don't know. Cincinnati may be like John Belushi in Animal House at this point. Not sure. If Cincinnati's fired up, the rest of
over?
Us need
you
a public
over?
Option to get fired
Nothing
up.
Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
All right.
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
I'm with Representative Lynn Woolsey, whom we know, Democrat of California, who will meet with the president later today.
It was very clear in our conversation that we are totally together, and he heard it loud and clear that we support a robust public option. I think he probably would like to convince us that there's something sort of that could lead to a public option that would satisfy us. And guess what? It doesn't.
Ha! Go home slice!
Yeah, all right. It weakens Obama.
All right. Well, let's just keep our powder dry. Meanwhile,
Kucinich Feingold ticket will win. And yeah. I have my doubts.
Meanwhile, more importantly, it's less than an hour to go before your child is indoctrinated to become a communist bastard by the president. Robert Gibbs.
It's a sad state of affairs that many in this country politically would rather start an Animal House food fight rather than inspire kids to stay in school, to work hard.
Another communist ideals.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. More importantly, Margaret in Madison writes, who's a big five-year-old now? Why, the Stephanie Miller Show is.
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Thank
happy
you.
Anniversary, happy anniversary.
Thank you, thank
Pour
you.
A cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Margaret writes, yes, this is year the Stephanie Miller Show is old enough to register for kindergarten. Happy anniversary, Steffi, to you and Christopher Louise and the Emmy Award-winning Sassy's dad. And to spare you fumbling around for the actual date, it was September 6th. We begin year 6. What was that, 2 days ago?
This is my 5-year anniversary with the
yes,
show.
Yes, you were late.
I was 2 days late.
Something about having another job in another city
Whatever.
Or
that I need
Nothing.
To give 2 weeks notice for.
Get your ass in your U-Haul here. We got fart jokes to tell.
We've got a stripper pole in the studio.
Yes.
Come on.
And by the way, what's wrong with Los Angeles? We are only number 2 this year in the most stressful city in America. We love it.
What was number 1? Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago, number 1.
I found Chicago much less stressful than Los Angeles.
And they talk about the air quality.
That's because you didn't work with me when you worked in Chicago.
That is true.
Right.
Although I did wait out at the bus stop at 4:30 in the morning in the dead of winter.
I mean, the seasons are a bit challenging. But in terms of the air quality, I mean, it's right on the lake.
Yeah, how about our air quality in L.A. last week?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was something.
Mm. And New York, only number 3. Only number 3.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Most stressful city.
Hmm.
All right. Before the break, we had told you that, what's the right-wing outfit that always susses out the liberal bias in liberal radio?
Is that newsbusters.org?
Yes.
Yes. They're
I made a joke
sleuths.
About going to MSNBC to be on the Ed Show, and I said for a liberal, going to MSNBC is like visiting the Vatican.
Yes.
You see, that was a little joke. And so they did a whole screed.
Yes, they did. They did an expose.
Yes. About how, you know, I don't know. Egregious that was somehow. Yeah. And also we recalled someone named Chester Riley called me a booger eater in the posts after that.
Chester.
It's his name.
Chester Riley, which is a character from the different Chester, right.
All right. The fine folks at the... Someone sent me the Green Lee Gazette, the fine Americans over there. Green Lee Gazette in Las Vegas.
Hmm.
They sussed out that we were a bit of a comedy show.
Huh. Really?
Because apparently the Radio Equalizer, that's that guy, the right-wing guy that had a radio show for 5 minutes on the, you could hear on someone's fillings or,
yeah.
I don't know, that.
Whatever. Came on
and after. he's the O'Reilly's radio expert.
Yes.
Yeah, he,
Anyway, Green Lee Gazette's right. Radio Equalizer slam of Stephanie Miller is a stretch. The Stephanie Miller Show is a morning radio talk show starring Stephanie Miller, Jim Ward, and Chris LeBoy. The show is political in nature, but also revels in the supremely silly. Miller herself referred to the format as Senator Fart Joke Senator. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The show takes a little getting used to. That we've been told this before.
Kind of like a fungus.
With its regular bits, celebrity voices, frivolity, and sound effects, and to the untrained or irony, humor, sarcasm deficient ear, a person might not pick up on every joke. MSNBC is the Vatican to a liberal bit is a typical over-the-top throwaway lie intended to overstate the way a conservative might see it.
Exactly.
How do I know this? I'm a regular listener, and this is often the case. So to me and any other regular listeners, the analysis of this clip on the Radio Equalizer is just silly. Note to Brian Maloney. Stephanie Miller does not worship an MSNBC. She doesn't really think that gay people have the gay. and that one senator isn't really named Squeezy McFeel Pants. All right. Thank you, Green Lee Gazette, for recognizing that these are the jokes, folks. Oh, boy. All right. They take the bait every time
over there.
At the Newsbusters.
And we read it every time they write about us.
Oh, it's entertaining.
Yes.
I look forward to the next, because you know that Chester Riley will post again.
Yes, he will.
Stephanie Miller says the power to the Messiah. Then she said it. My name is Chester.
And also, and also eats boogers. Okay,
yes,
let's, that's the level of the right-wing humor over there, apparently, on the Newsbusters. All right, let's check some other entertainment news, shall we, kids?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, American Idol isn't the same without Paula or Abdul, says Simon Cowell. He says the show is now different. It's like comparing a carrot to a banana.
What?
Huh? He says I miss her.
Aww.
You'll be surprised to hear me say this, but American Idol really isn't the same without Paula. It's a bit like comparing a carrot to a banana. When Paula was literally falling down drunk and crawling around under the table, she developed a habit of pleasuring me whilst she was down there, keeping me as stiff and firm as a large, healthy carrot. At least she was using her mouth for something other than talking, which was a relief in itself. But now, with the likes of Posh Spice on board, the show is more like a soft, flaccid, overripe banana. I mean, really, she's about as alluring as a coat rack. I don't know how David puts up with it. Although, I suppose his forays into Madrid and Milan gave him plenty of opportunity to play hide the chorizo or calabrese, respectively, whilst he was on the continent. I shall have to talk to Simon Fuller about starting up Idol España and Idol Italia. If nothing else, the auditions for the perfect señorita or señorina should be fun. I'll even supply the knee pads. Adios. Ciao, Bella. I'm just being honest.
And finally, Chris Brown may be picking a fight with the wrong woman this time.
Uh-oh.
Oprah Winfrey is firing back.
She hits back.
Oprah Winfrey firing back at the comments Brown made about her in the New People magazine. People asked Brown about the fact that Oprah did a show on abuse inspired by Rihanna. Brown replied, I commend Oprah on being like, this is a problem, but it was a slap in my face.
Oh.
And he isn't an ironic file this morning.
Yeah.
I did a lot of stuff for her, like going to Africa and performing for her school. TMZ writes, we have a feeling if Oprah really wanted to slap Brown, he currently would be searching for his head.
Yeah.
We have a celebrity deathmatch version of this. Johnny Gomez, Dick Diamond, and Mills Lane.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Celebrity Deathmatch. In our main event, Oprah versus Chris Brown in the biggest and baddest pop culture punch-up since Carrie Prejean took Perez Hilton to the altar of pain. I'm Johnny Gomez, and here with my partner, Nick Diamond. Nick, there seems to be some particularly bad blood between these two.
That's right, Johnny. These two used to get along until Chris Brown celebrated the descent of his testicles by casting Rihanna in a one-woman production of The Color Purple. Oprah took it personally because she's dead set against domestic violence. Well, if there's any ass-kicking going to happen, you just do not chomp on her franchise. Well, there they come. Chris Brown at about 3 inches long and the size of new peas, and Oprah from 150 to 275, depending on what you had for lunch. Here's Mills Lane.
All right, ladies, I want a good clean fight, and I don't want any bitch slapping below the belt. Let's get it on.
Wow, Nick Oprah just schooled Chris Brown, and I mean with a school bus. There's not even a hip left to hop. Let's see what Mills has to say.
I'll allow it. Well, there you have it. Luckily, we had an idea this might happen, so to fill in our time, here's a rerun of Heidi. Come back. Come back next week when we see Sarah Palin go up against Michelle Bachmann in assault and bat. Crazy battery.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward folderol.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a title ad at stephaniemiller.com. Go there. Buy the album, why don't you?
Thank you. Oh, I forgot. I left Morgan on hold. Morgan in Madison has weepy healthcare story. She's probably needed 6 more organs since then. Morgan. I apologize. Go ahead.
So mean. I'm not that frail. Jeez. Anyway.
You're an organ hog.
Anyway, so before people get up in a lather, I am all in favor of a public health option, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the single payer that makes me nervous because, as I said, as it stands right now, if the single payer option still covers only 80% of prescription costs for me, that's going to be hundreds of dollars out of my pocket every month that I can't afford. Right now I have a wonderful, wonderful HMO. I know it sounds like a contradiction in terms, but I only pay like $15 a prescription a month and I have 7 of them. So it still costs me some money, but it doesn't break my bank and it doesn't leave me homeless. And organ transplant recipients are such a small percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous about a single payer option. Public health option, great. Single payer plan makes me a little nervous.
Yeah,
I would like to keep my HMO, but I'm all in favor of a public health option. So before
couldn't you just take some organs from, I don't know, one of the goats or chickens you sacrificed there in Madison?
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
You know, I tried that, but they're so tiny.
All right. Thank you, Morgan.
Also, there's a little more rejection than usual because the interspecies organ donation really doesn't take.
Yeah, my body rejected
the human animal.
Gizzards.
Yeah. Human animal hybrids.
Not take it all.
Not working.
Human animal hybrids.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more celebrity stack.
I needed a human gizzard, clearly, you know.
Michael Jackson dying has not stopped the creepy Michael Jackson stories, sadly. Yet one more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Ronnie in Spokane. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hello, Ronnie.
Hey, Steph. Congratulations on the anniversary. I would have brought wine had I known.
Thank you. Oh, we brought our own.
Oh, good. My son was earlier in a panic because he couldn't find his permission slip to go watch his president speak today. I think that people should have a permission slip not to be there. Isn't that awful?
That's insane that they require a permission slip to watch the president.
I know. Now he doesn't want to go to school because I called and said that he absolutely was going to watch his president, and we found out that he has to go to the library because his teacher has chosen not to show it in her classroom.
Mm. Yeah. And it was up to her because...
I would assume that she's probably in a higher tax bracket
maybe
than I.
Chosen to be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess district-wide, everybody had the choice. Each school had their choice to handle it the way that they did, and that's how my child's teacher is handling it, and I would like to transfer him out of class, personally. But.
Yeah, it is amazing. The right wing can politicize anything. You know, it's not just health care. It's, are you kidding me? Every president has spoken to school children. Yep. You know, and like this isn't has have something to do with the.
If they're banning the president from speaking on that school campus, then they should ban every government official, including military recruiters, from speaking on those campuses.
Mm-hmm. You know who needs to speak more to our school children is a creepy ex-presidential candidate, Gary Bauer.
Oh. the one that looks like Peter Lorre?
Yes, he does. The Obama administration is using its power in unprecedented ways, this time injecting itself into the nation's classrooms. Tuesday may be a good day to sit in on your child's classes.
I'd like to inject embalming fluid into all the kids. And their corpses would be nice and fresh. And take them down to my dungeon. And
see, he looks like Peter Lorre.
I understand. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. All right. Ooh, weird that you just brought up embalming. Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah.
Might be the father of Michael Jackson's son, Blanket.
Oh.
I don't. He reportedly donated sperm to make a blanket. Okay. Because they were very close.
Oh.
Okay. That made me slap my hands like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. I was like, oh, no.
Goof.
All right. Oh, boy. I'm guessing that Gary Bauer is going to have something to say about this. Ben and Jerry's has renamed a ice cream flavor to celebrate gay marriage.
Yes.
That's creepy.
Chubby Hubby will now be called Hubby.
Oh, yeah. At least it wasn't Stubby Hubby.
Don't make any jokes about the flavor of ice cream embalming fudge. Okay. To celebrate the legalization of gay marriage in Vermont, according to the New York Daily News, the name change is part of Ben and Jerry's campaign with Freedom to Marry to advocate marriage equality in all states. Good for them. Hubby Hubby will feature a picture of two men getting married.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear God.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
All right. Hmm. There's been another penis puppet incident.
Another one?
I didn't know there was a first one.
You know, that's one of my favorite plays, Puppetry of the Penis.
Penis. Yes. It really is remakable what they do.
It really is amazing. Play. Who knew? Anyway, police in... could I have my crime blotter music, please? Police in Washington State said a suspect used his genitals as a puppet while standing over an air conditioner intake. That would seem... That would take some doing because there would be, significant shrinkage. Residents reported a man standing over an air conditioner intake wearing only an unbuttoned flannel shirt and was apparently manipulating his penis with a string like a puppet. Police said he was arrested at the scene and still had the string attached to his penis. Martin was also in possession of a small quantity of methamphetamine.
Of course he was.
And a porn magazine. Which, just in case you're wondering, those are the two props you need if you are going to apparently participate in puppetry of the penis. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of boy parts and girl parts, another Lady Gaga story and much more on healthcare reform as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you for loving me, America.
You're welcome.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ooh, less than a half an hour before your kids are indoctrinated into communist bastards.
That's right.
By the president. Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios, mio, mi amigo.
Support for the Mamacita y los Mookies show is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by Patron Reposado Tequila, the tequila that made Tijuana famous.
First of all, Mamacita, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I cannot believe that we're wasting good electricity discussing the Obamas attempting to uphold these communist ideals.
Yes.
I mean, what is next? I just happened to hear the latest White House gossip. Did you hear that they're about to obtain a family cat?
No way.
Yeah.
The apocalypse is near. Dogs and cats living together.
Yes, indeed. You know what they're going to call it?
Mm.
Chairman Meow.
Hi, was that the communist joke about the... Get it? Because it's meow. Could I have my scary communist indoctrination music, please, Christopher?
Right away.
In a speech that drew fire even before he delivered it, President Obama will tell the nation's school children he expects great things from each of you. At the end of the day, we can have the most dedicated teachers, the most supportive parents, and the best schools in the world, and none of it will matter unless all of you fulfill your responsibilities. Okay, that's it. Hmm. Ooh, who wants their children to hear stuff like that? Stay in school and study.
Whatever.
Does that mean George H.W. Bush was a communist?
Apparently.
Apparently. Jim, Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward, who said, I am single and a workaholic and very lonely, but I'm good. Me and my vibrator are very happy.
What? Hey!
Who said that?
Stephanie Miller.
That's a good guess. No, that was a really good guess this time. Lady Gaga!
Ah.
Apparently.
And has she denied the Ann Coulter-ish allegations?
Yes, she has.
Okay.
Having the he-she parts?
Yes.
Yes, she has. Okay. Oh, Lord. So, this is just the most ridiculous controversy ever that the children is going to speak to the children today. Governor Rick Perry, who doesn't even want to be part of America, so what does he care?
Yeah.
He said he can understand why some parents are upset that President Obama plans to talk to school children today. What? As you recall, President Reagan and President George H.W. Bush made similar pitches to school kids in a different time, in a different political atmosphere.
Hmm. What's the
he
difference?
He blamed the White House for not letting schools and parents know more about what he's planning to say.
Mm-hmm. You can read the... It's up on...
Yes.
What?
Okay. do we have a...
Was
Florida,
that a requirement before?
The Florida...
When white Republicans were talking?
The Florida Republican chairman, Jim Greer.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
I think the president has enough to do focusing on the economy and finding jobs for Americans than writing lesson plans out of the Oval Office.
What?
Mm-hmm. It's another high-voiced Republican. I'm way too macho for this president. I'll show him what for. Lesson plans.
Let me at him.
I'll bite your kneecap.
Texas Monthly's in the pink blog writes, school is a place to teach our children that abstinence is the only answer and evolution is a lie, not some kind of indoctrination chamber to expose impressionable young minds to propaganda-type video.
That's funny.
Like a web speech by the president on the importance of education. Yes, Barack Obama, no longer content with just ridding this country of the old and feeble, is now going after the next generation because he can. Thank you. That was a little bit of snark for me. Tony Blankley on the Situation Room.
The White House spokesman kind of doubled down on stupid when he then said that all these Americans who are upset are silly, using the word silly season. You know, that's just not shrewd on the part of the White House staff. They should have simply said, we didn't communicate effectively, we're sorry, this is all the president plans to do. Instead, they insult a good percentage of the American public. Why do it?
Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota said Obama's speech is uninvited. And that the president's move raises questions of content and motive.
God.
This is really...
Oh,
okay.
How do you fight
dumbest
this?
Country on the
yeah.
planet.
Yeah, how do you...
That's their point. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Brandy in Madison on the president's speech to the school kids. Hello, Brandy.
Hello.
Hello,
yeah,
go
ahead. I just called my daughter's school, and she's in middle school, and they're not even going to show the president's speech or let him listen to it.
Wow. And,
I'm serious.
What did they say when you asked why?
Well, they were ignorant. They were like, well, no, none of the teachers have chosen to let them see it.
That's a lie, I'm sure.
Yeah, I said, why not? I said, I didn't hear about this. Last I knew they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, then they're infringing on your parental rights by refusing to show something that you want your kids to see.
Yeah.
I want her to see it.
Absolutely.
I don't want her to come in and read a baby book to her.
Right. They're infringing on your rights, Brandy.
I mean, they will politicize anything. You know what I mean? Like, seriously.
There needs to be a class action lawsuit.
What do you think? The president's going to read porn novels? Like, what do you think he's going to say?
No, that's O'Reilly's
job. Stay in school, work hard.
Yeah, it's O'Reilly's job to read porn novels.
Exactly. Well, exactly. If you were going to have a Bill O'Reilly.
Robo used his product only occasionally, but tonight was special. He had two 15-year-old girls who would do anything for the drug, and he was determined to exploit the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
Yeah. Maybe the president should have said, I don't intend to read any of Bill O'Reilly's novels to your children. Okay, let's go to Joel in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Joel.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
We were talking about eating boogers earlier.
Yes.
I know you're accused of it, but I was driving my daughter to daycare last week, and I look in the rearview mirror, she's got her finger right up her nose.
Oh, dude.
She sticks it right in her mouth.
Oh.
And I tell her, don't eat that, it's yucky. She says, no, Daddy, they're yummy.
No!
This is a charming story, Joel. You know, don't you think your daughter might her time might be better spent listening to the president this morning?
Well, Well, she's too young for it. They don't play it in daycare. However, okay. But I haven't eaten a booger in 30-some years. So
all right, Sean. All right, Sean.
So
thanks
it's
for
a family
calling.
Thing.
That's another magical Stephanie Miller Show moment. We refer to the right-wing Chester Riley, who called me a booger eater on newsbusters.org last week. But we didn't mean for this to lead to a rash of those types of stories.
Have you ever eaten a booger?
I
can we not talk about this anymore?
Computer says no.
Okay, let's go to...
Does he know this?
May in Ann Arbor, Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Stephanie, I love you, but what I'm calling about is something that really got me riled up by that woman. She was talking about Medicare. She said that Medicare only pays 20%. Well, she's a freaking liar because she's ignorant. She doesn't know because Medicare takes care of 80%. I'm 75 freaking years old. I know, and I've had Medicare for the last 13 years.
Now, let me ask you something, May. Do you have any of the supplemental plans or just the regular Medicare?
Yeah. I have Medicare, and I have Blue Cross Blue Shield. So everything I have is covered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's go to Robin in Berkeley. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Robin.
Hi. I had a response to Morgan, too. I think that previous lady was a little confused. But anyway, I think the response to that lady that she was talking about, that she's her bills are like her one drug was $800 or whatever, and so she pays $15 right now. The response to her is she's actually paying, and Jim, you can back me up on this, she's actually already paying actually more than the $15 because we get paid taxes of our paychecks whenever we get paid, if we're weekly paid or, you know, bi-monthly paid or whatever, there's money that comes out of our paycheck that goes toward, you know, like health, if you look at all those SSID or whatever, you know, and from what I'm understanding in this reform, they're going to actually fix kind of that amount of money that's coming out of our paychecks. How does single pay work?
Well,
right?
Yeah, you pay into the plan, and everybody pays into the plan, exactly.
So that there's a much bigger pool of money than there would be earlier.
Bigger pool of money.
Right, and it reduces overhead costs.
Right,
right,
the overhead that we're paying out of our paychecks. And I think what the problem is that people don't see what comes out of our paychecks.
Yeah,
so they don't think about it.
Yeah, I know the president made that point recently, I believe. Mm-hmm. All right, getting ready for the big speech to Congress tomorrow. Representative Zach Spacey, Blue Dog Democrat.
Yeah, he's quite the Blue Dog.
We understand that the left wing of our party doesn't have it right all the time. We understand that the Republican Party doesn't have it wrong all the time.
Morton Kondracki on the Britt Baer Show.
If he's still defending the public option, and he is going to defend the public option on Wednesday, then he is in real trouble.
Oh, boy.
Because the public option is not going to fly in the Senate unless they're going to try to ram it through on this reconciliation process where they need only 51 votes, in which case the place is going to blow up, and he's going to have a minority health plan, which I don't think is what he wants.
Oh, it's going to blow it up. It's going to blow it up real
funny
good.
It didn't blow up when the Republicans were using it.
For reconciliation, don't you need like 51? That's not a minority.
No.
That's the majority in the Senate. What is
minority
talking about?
It's a minority. It's only 51%. That's less than 100, so it's a minority.
Majority. God.
That's because, it must be true because it was said on the Fox News, which is the most powerful voice in the country.
There is no question anymore. That Fox News is now the most powerful voice in the news media, despite unrelenting attacks from almost all other press organizations. The American people are not stupid. They know the health care deal is extremely important. They know the country is running up debt that could destroy the U.S. dollar. They know the president has not been able to explain why the health care plan is good for the country. Most of the other media ignore those things. We do not. Fox News is designed to be provocative, truthful, and look out for the regular folks. That's why our ratings are so dominant.
Well, you got the provocative part right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Skippy, you wait there. The president will explain it to you tomorrow night. 43 minutes after the hour, back with more on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Victor in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Vic, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, Mooks, how you doing?
Good. You only have about 10 minutes if you have a child before it becomes a communist bastard. Pardon me?
We ought to take a deep breath and relax. Other Republicans have backed off their position on the speech. Newt Gingrich on the Today Show said he should listen to the speech. Jim Greer on MSNBC just said he and his kids should listen to the speech. It's going to happen. They're going to listen, and we're going to have to get back to this health care issue, because that's really what's important.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Victor. This is just yet another Republican distraction technique to go, you know, make a fake controversy out of something to distract from, you know, what is really an important issue. Here's what I was deciding this morning. Here's how you know it's a really important issue, if it involves people dying or not.
Yeah.
War, health care. A lot of people will die, you see, if we don't make the right decisions this time. Let's go to Nancy in St. Paul on healthcare. Hello, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
You know, I just am, like, going crazy with the Fox News. The seniors who are on Medicare, Medicaid, are the ones that are lapping up all these lies. My parents' friends the other day said, you know, we heard animals are going to be covered on this new universal healthcare.
Did I don't know if you heard my story, Nancy. I was on vacation in Utah. All places. But I heard this woman just saying the Republican talking points. She was on Medicare. She's like, well, I just don't want the government deciding what care I can have or not. And I literally couldn't help myself. I'm on vacation. I'm like, do you mind if we sit and talk for a minute?
I know, both of my parents had life-threatening illnesses this summer. One cancer, the other one an infection in her heart. And I sat in the hospital room with them, listening to them talk about how horrible universal health care, government-sponsored health care would be. Their bills were $50 and $60 at the end of like 10-day hospital stay.
Yeah.
On our HMO plan, my family would have been ruined from that. Plus, then we would have had pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and this woman was on Medicare. Mm-hmm. And I just literally, she had followed every Fox News talking point. And all I could do, at least I could, you know, but she was a nice person. All I could do was say, will you please just promise me, you'll listen to the president's speech tomorrow night with an open mind.
Well, let's hope the president actually has some backbone and stands up and says what he promised us during the campaign you know, instead of trying to reach out to the right, because we all know how that works.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Let's go to Brian in Gary, Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Stephanie. I just wanted to say, you know, everybody's freaking out about the Obama speech. What was George Bush doing on September 11th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Reading.
Exactly. Thank
kids.
You.
Even after he was told that America was under attack.
It's the only time he ever spoke to school children.
Interesting. Hey, it's time
keep
for
him out of Washington to get out of Cheney's way.
That's right.
It's time for yet another.
Right-wing hypocrites!
You know them Republicans, Jim. They're those fiscal conservatives.
Uh-huh. So they say.
Mm-hmm. Reports Bobby Jindal took state helicopters to church.
To church?
Mm-hmm. Because he can do anything.
Because rich Americans can do anything.
Louisiana's Republican Governor Bobby Jindal receiving heavy criticism after local media revealed he's been using taxpayer money. See, he doesn't want none of that federal stimulus money.
No.
Although he took it.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he put it on a big check and gave it to people and signed his name like he was giving them the money.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
We don't want to waste money on volcano monitoring. We want to spend it on helicopters so I can go to church.
He has been using taxpayer money to make helicopter visits to churches in the state, which, first of all, seems like a separation of church and state thing. Or
whatever.
Also, the governor's chopper travel habits have cost taxpayers over $180,000. To go to
the cost of a good exorcism.
Yes, he needed to go to church in order to perform an exorcism. That's why.
That's our favorite fun fact about Bobby Jindal is he once exorcised a demon from his college girlfriend.
That's right. Against her will. He held her down. And this isn't alleged. He wrote about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah mother.
Okay. Love that story. Okay.
We don't want high-speed trains from Las Vegas to Disneyland to church. That's what helicopters are for.
Mm-hmm. And here is...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Part 2, fiscal conservative Sarah Palin. Early estimates of the cost of her resignation as Alaska governor put a minimum of $40,000, not including a special legislative session partly linked to her departure.
Hmm.
There she is. Because it's all for the people of Alaska. As you know.
Hmm.
All right. Here was some good news. Could I have my crime blotter music, please? Former U.S. Attorney General. That's fine, too. It's for someone from the Bush administration, so that's fine, too.
Yeah.
Former U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft is not immune from being sued by a man who says he was illegally detained under the Justice Department policies implemented after the September 11th terror attack. A federal appeals court ruled on Friday. Oh, I'll take anybody being held accountable for anything in the Bush administration at this point. All right. Speaking of September 11th, oh, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time of the show when we have to talk about Van Jones, who resigned as a... what was he? He was the green job czar?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because he was linked to efforts suggesting a government role in the September 11th attacks and to derogatory comments about Republicans. And I think he called them holes, which is true, and I'm with him on that one. However, I do not believe the government was behind 9/11. But
he also jokingly called himself a communist, and the right wing is taking that.
Seized on that.
Yeah, has seized on that.
But what was it that he signed? What was he signed, a petition or something like that?
He signed, petition.
And what did it say?
It said...
No, you don't have the actual
The government was behind 9/11.
No, but you don't have the actual quote in front of you, though, so you don't know what he was actually signing.
Well, do you?
No.
All right. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. Jones' names appeared on a petition connected to the events surrounding September 11th. The petition had asked for congressional hearings and other investigations into whether high-level government officials had allowed the attacks to occur.
And doesn't mean he thinks
there should be a new investigation.
Yeah, he thinks there should be an investigation.
Because there are a lot of things that were not even touched on in the original. They didn't talk about Building 7, for example, which was not hit by a plane. They had unanswered questions about exactly why the military, the Air Force, didn't intercept the planes. I mean, these are things that need to be investigated.
Right. All right. Fred Barnes on the Bert Baer Show on the event. Thank you. Van Jones.
You know, crackpots don't think they've done anything embarrassing. You know, they think all those nutty petitions they signed, it was just unusual. They're unusually insightful. But here's what I would say. I have three questions. One, who hired him at the White House? I think we need to know that. And what qualifies this guy, this crackpot, or maybe he's a recently reformed crackpot, what qualifies him to be the green job czar?
Well, he
and wait a minute, got one more question. And I know you're not going to answer these anyway. So
you're trying to answer them.
What in the world is going on with this green jobs program? If this guy's one of the main people there, should we take that program seriously? Obama talked about creating 5 million green jobs. Van Jones never created a job in his life.
All right. I don't look. And apparently,
again, asking for a new investigation of things that were not investigated the first time around does not make you a crackpot.
As I understand it, it didn't say we believe the government was behind 9/11. It was asking questions. But
yes.
Anyway. All right. Speaking of jobs, the president's talking about losing jobs.
The ever Americans are losing jobs. That's simply unacceptable. But for the second straight month, we lost fewer jobs than the month before, and it was the fewest jobs that we had lost in a year.
Proving that he's a failure.
Make no mistake, we're moving in the right direction. We're on the road to recovery, Ohio.
Yes, in more good news for America, bad news for Republicans. All right. Reach out to the White House, to your representatives. Tell them you want a strong public option. How about that? Before the president's big speech tomorrow night. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeMoy, the Emmy Award-winning voice deity, Jim Ward, and the Clio-winning Rebecca Baker on phones and drums.
What?
I don't know. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.